Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Nine rounds deep into the 2024 NRL season. MG, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Liam. I must confess that I love my rugby league season, but geez, the year goes quick once we're into the season proper. Can you believe it's round 10 already this week and Magic Round is upon us next weekend? My goodness, where's the time gone?
And the River City is getting ready. It is getting ready. Brisbane, this is when Brisbane shines. It puts on its best set of going out clothes and really welcomes everybody in. We cannot wait for that. It's going to be a huge weekend, but got to talk through some issues before we look to the weekend, MG. And I know you want to talk about this, so I'm just going to say the name Casey Badger and let you go.
Oh, look, the first thing is that the pile on anybody, whether it's a player, a ref, a coach, has been disgraceful post game. And I echo the sentiments of a lot of the big names in our game who have called out the cowards who do that type of stuff. But that's, I've seen it firsthand. It happens to me daily. That's why I'd be very careful about what I read as far as comments go. On performance-based, if we're looking completely generalist and we're looking just at a coach, at a referee, the game was against the Tigers and the Bulldogs wasn't satisfactory enough for first grade. I think that she lost control of the game. And I've seen male refs do the same in past and just totally Absolutely. Lose control of games. So it's nothing to do with Casey being a female. In fact, I encourage females, both officials, players, administrators, to dive headfirst into our game because we need more of them. But I don't think for 1 minute that her, and even if she had a debrief herself, she'd say to herself that wasn't up to par as far as first grade rugby league goes. Mm. So purely on that basis, she shouldn't be refereeing this weekend, and she is, and I think that's a mistake because we don't reward mediocrity with our players. They get dropped if they've had a shocker, and she had a shocker in layman's terms, and she'll bounce back. But she's got a game this weekend. I think she's playing. She's got the Warriors Roosters game, I think. So look, that's going to be another heated inferno for her. But look, I just hope she's I keep backing her. You know, because I think we've got to encourage more and more officials that are female in particular to jump into our game because they have got a calming effect over a lot of things. But this game in particular, the Tigers and the Bulldogs game, she just lost control. And the sin binnings, the six to goes, and it was very frantic. And even watching it from home on TV, it was kind of that one of them games where I felt uncomfortable watching it because I was ready for something to happen. It did, with clamour in the end. So...
Mm.
Look, chin up, you know, to Casey Badger. I think that she'll be better for the runners, they say. And I think that overall, what are your thoughts on the whole match?
Well, you're right. Casey Badger will be refereeing Roosters v Warriors. It's a real, where the game's at a really interesting point because the women's game, NRLW, and the women's State of Origin, which the teams have been announced for and which game one will lead into Magic Round, which you can't wait for. The growth, that's where the growth is for the game of rugby league,
in the
women's code, right? So, and the league has been doing their best to put women at the forefront of these things. And now the NRLW is going to, I think we're at an interesting point because, you know, early days, let's not be naive, there was a tokenistic element to women in the sport of rugby league.
Of course.
Across all, whether it's, you know, there was a, oh, we need to, the blokes in charge said, we probably need to give the women a turn, right? I think we've grown past that.
I think so too.
Now there is a fully fledged women's competition. Casey Badger is refereeing on merit, not on gender. There's no, I don't believe, some people may think there is, but I don't personally believe there's any, you know, box ticking to her being appointed week to week. Having said that, it would seem that we're not quite at the point where we can equally criticise, or some people don't believe it's fair to criticise Casey Badger to the same extent that we have criticised male referees in the past.
Yep.
So it's a very, and because of rugby league as a sport, we as fans, we get emotional about this sport because It brings out the passion in us. This is what some people live for week to week. So there is emotion attached to it. And we want to get angry about things and we want to blame, find reasons that our team didn't win. Similarly, there's the women in sport is such an emotional issue for a lot of people that the moment a female is seen to be being criticized by a male, regardless of whether it has anything to do with gender, it drives an emotional reaction as well. So I think if everyone can, you know, ask everyone to kind of take a deep breath around these issues before they speak or comment or whatever, or say anything in the grandstands, in a perfect world, that's what would happen. Everyone would take a breath, count to 10 before they speak, but we don't live in that world.
No, because so many, and the inverted commas, keyboard warriors have got access straight away to social media and they can say exactly what they want to say in the heat of the moment. And and I think a lot of the Tigers players, the Bulldogs players, maybe have, in retrospect, would look back and say, you know what, we could have maybe handled that a little bit differently as well. And then I'm sure Casey Badger would say the same thing. Next time I get this weekend, I'm going to try and maybe do things a little bit different. Like it's a learning curve for everybody.
And this is the same way when I love what Billy Slater came out and you know said to all these people that want to throw rocks, go referee a game, go become a ref and see what this is like and then multiply it by 1,000 to get an understanding of what it might be like refereeing at the elite level. But yeah, I think, you know, it was a bad weekend for Casey. It was a bad weekend for some of those Tigers players, the way they reacted. Come out next weekend, be better. Use it. You win or you learn. And opportunity for everyone involved to learn a bit there.
Come on, Casey, let's go.
Let's jump on field, though, MG. Parramatta. Look, somebody, we don't need to name whom, somebody here on this pod actually tipped them to win the whole thing. But that's not going to happen. We know Mitchell Moses, the injuries now. Clint Gutherson's out for an extended period of time, about to have surgery on this knee. And now Blaise Talagi, who, really exciting young prospect, Parramatta Junior.
Yep.
And there's talk now that his future might not lie in the blue and gold. He's going to be played at fullback this year, which Brad Arthur says is where he sees himself long term. That's what Blaise believes.
Yes.
But there's a risk that he might head elsewhere in the comp. What do you think about the idea that Blaise at 19 years of age might be leaving the Eels?
What I am more concerned about, if I'm a Parramatta fan or an official, is the fact that he rejected the contract extension that, at 19 years of age, he's already deemed this is not a place I want to be. That's the worrying point for me because at that age, you're just happy to be playing first grade. It doesn't matter where you are if you really love a place. And if you're a junior of that club in particular, you can't wait to wear the, in his case, the blue and gold and wear it, you know, with distinction and wear it, be part of the rebuild and all that type of stuff. But obviously, no. The talks are that Dragons are at the top of the tree to secure his services and it's indicative of Parramatta, but at the moment, and we've spoken about them last week. I think their New South Wales Cup had their first win. Their lower grades, their kids didn't make it to the finals this year. Saying that, either the Penrith. But still, in the modern day when these young kids come along, sometimes they're given too much too early, and then they fizzle out. I don't know much about Blaise Talagi. I must confess, I've seen him play a few times. I like what I see. I think he's a star of the future, but he's serving his apprenticeship at the moment. So he's kind of started his woodwork apprenticeship, and he said, "Nah, you know what? I don't want to do woodwork. I'm going to do metalwork." And that's at a young age he's decided to want to change clubs. And for me, that's the most concerning part. The fact that they haven't got Mitchell Moses and Clint Gutherson in their team for the next few weeks, their two best players, arguably. They're playing the Broncos on Friday night, who are coming off a hiding against at the hands of the Roosters. So they're going to be smarting. This game could be anything. Parramatta could win, but as far as Blake Talagi goes, he's free to join another club as of next year. And it's a shame, to be honest. It's a shame that we don't see these kids just want to swing from the trees and say, you know, I love this club. I'm pounding my chest and saying it. I love this club, but.
MG, I appreciate what you're saying. Do you think that's an out-of-date concept, though? Do you think now, given the business that it is, given the millions of dollars the best players can earn throughout their career, and I think Australia can't help itself but look to the US when it comes to, and particularly these athletes can't help themselves but look to the US athletes when they look at the opportunity to brand themselves and make a career out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And changing clubs in American sports is just part of the deal. It's just part of the gig. It's part of their career as an athlete.
They do it mid-season regularly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you look at Blaze here, and I don't know what's going on with Blaze and his management and all the rest of it, but he hasn't actually said that he doesn't want to play for the Eels, right? All he's done is turn down his player option for next year. There was an option in his contract in his favour to stick around for another year. He's rejected that. So what he's essentially doing is putting himself to market 12 months earlier than he might have done.
Oh, he'll be snapped up by. That's the thing. That's
but,
the whole...
but it could still be the Eels. The Eels could still be the ones to take him just on a... Blaze may have just...
I don't know if the Eels would want him after what he's saying to them. That I don't want to take up the... Or if you remember, I think it was Mitchell Moses had the same type of offer in his contract and he kind of played it out very similar to Fifita, and we'll get to him in a second, but...
Mm-hmm.
We saw Mitchell Moses have something similar, and he kind of went on, and they were negotiating, and Mitchell Moses got more and more, but Mitchell Moses had the runs on the board. Blaze Talagi hasn't. And
I agree.
Sometimes I just hope they know that this is obviously a sport and a game and a business, but at the end of the day, it's where you're happy. And if you're happy being in that jersey, and you're happy in that dressing room, you'll play for a club. Like at least another year, you could have given at least another year and put some runs on the board. But at the moment, he's a kind of an unknown. And if he's going to go to another club and play fullback, well, so be it. I don't begrudge it.
No, of course, I understand.
I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed for Parramatta. That, but then I'm not, because if they're doing their job right, the powers that be, this kid wouldn't be going. So
that, you're right. And look, I think in this situation, everyone probably thinks they're doing their job right, and particularly Blazers manager. Now, you're right, he could stay for another year and put runs on the board, and his value, market value, might go up. Or he could leave. The Dragons could pay overs for someone who is unproven, and in 12 months' time, we could be sitting here discussing the Dragons being a badly run club again, because they've landed Blaze Talagi on an insane amount of money, and they've got all this money tied up in a fullback, Zach Lomax. And now Zach Lomax has gone on to be, he's a rep quality player, right?
Yes.
Never as fullback, though. Never as fullback. And
never as fullback. No. Everyone wants to play fullback because that's the big money. You know, everyone's got this fascination with being number one if you're a backline. If you're a three-quarter player, a one, a two, a five, a three, or a four, you want to play number one because that's where all the big bucks are. You know, there's no money on the one winger might get a lot of money, one centre might, but then the other centre or winger aren't. And you know, with fullback, you're the one. You're the number one. That's the only person who's going to play fullback, and that's inherently you're getting more money than most other players in your team. But sometimes just be careful what you wish for. That's all. You've got to walk at these things like you're guarded. You've got to have some guard up because. We've seen young kids change clubs for money for other reasons and other reasons, but more so money that's backfired on them. I just hope Blaze Talagi isn't one of them kids.
Well said, MG. 19 years of age. He's hoping that this weekend we get an insight into what sort of a fullback he could actually be if that's where he ends up playing next year, whether it be with the Eels or someone else. Because the other part about it, just to put a bow on it, Clint Gutherson at the age of 30, one of the fittest players in the NRL.
Yeah.
Knee surgery, you never... guaranteed, and once you go over that 30-year-old hill, those injuries start to have a different impact and effect, and maybe his future is not at fullback. Maybe he ends his career playing elsewhere in the side. So wait and see. Let's talk about another bloke who is on the market.
Father Time is undefeated.
Not for you, mate. You're Benjamin Buttoning this. You're aging backwards. Dave Fifita.
Isn't he the talk of the town all of a sudden? Who saw this coming? Oh, wow.
Oh, Davey boy. So now Dave has until next weekend, I think it's round 10, is the deadline for this.
Thursday round 10, yes.
So it'll be a week from today.
I thought it was tomorrow.
Is it round nine maybe? Because we're nine rounds in. We are coming up to round 10. You're right.
It is
today. So when you're listening to this, you might well know what Dave Fifita's future is, or at least whether it's with the Titans or not. Because he has until today to essentially tell the Titans whether he wants to activate the more years on his clause. What do you think he should do?
Well, I'd be astonished to see him stay at the Titans because I didn't see this one coming. I thought, I heard murmurs that he might, you know, when he gets to this clause, he mightn't activate it and all that type of stuff. But deep down, I thought, well, Desi Hasler going to the club. And I think the fact that Tino Fasua Malaoi's done his ACL is a big deterrent maybe for Fafita. He knows that he's going to be out for an extended period of time. And when your bro town's away, it's kind of, you know, you think to yourself, is the grass greener on the other side? Well, I think the fact that he has told his manager to go and talk to Penrith in particular. Someone said that maybe that's where his girlfriend is from, or so that could be a reason. But I think more so it's the fact that I think David Fifita has realised that I want to get my career back on the track. I have come to this competition with so much fanfare. I haven't delivered anywhere close to what I should be delivering. And the last 3 or 4 weeks he's been fantastic. And he showed us especially last week, he was a powerhouse. In their loss to the Titans to lose
Storm.
To
the they got Storm. Robbed by the ref at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was not a strip.
No, it wasn't.
Nick Meaney hanging the ball out here. Sorry, I don't want to get wound up in Titans.
I'm with you. It's I think David Fifita has come to the conclusion that, you know, well, this is what I want to do. I want to play finals footy. So, okay, Titans put a line through them at the moment. I'd be astonished to see him stay there.
Okay. Dragons. The Titans are out of the conversation. Just quickly, you mentioned David's girlfriend is Shaylee Bent, who is actually a part of the Titans NRLW side, who made the grand final last year, but she is from Penrith originally.
Okay, there we go. I thought that was the case, but that could be a Russian. That could be one of the reasons they want to come back home. The Penrith, she wants to come back home. She might want to do something. I don't know. But I think the whole fact that this came out of the blue, you know, 1 minute you're having your Sunday afternoon beer, and next minute you say, well, David Fifita is coming to Penrith to talk to Ivan Cleary. What the hell? And I don't know what the presentation was like, but you could bet your bottom dollar it was all about not being the main man and not being having to give the ball like under sixes to David and try and do something out of it. You'd be actually put in space. And then I think when the Roosters got wind of that, they said, okay, well, we want a piece of this action. So they've come forward and said that, you know, David, come to talk to us, and as you should do. But then Angus Crichton, who's in career best form almost at the moment, who was all but going to rugby union six weeks ago, has now thrown a little bit of a cat amongst the pigeons, because his form is irresistible at the moment. And dare say it's probably even better than David Fifita's. But David Fifita, he offers a lot more because he's only 24. He's a big body. He's a marquee player. And he's exactly what Penrith need after Fisher Harris has gone. You know that big body in the middle who demands respect. And I'm pretty sure Penrith will buy him as a back rower. I'm sure he'll get some time up front if he does eventually stay at Penrith. But I just think him in a system that basically shares the load, like Penrith do with Yowie and Nathan Cleary and Dill Edwards. And next year the 5'8 could be one of 3 or 4 players, Laurie and Jack Cole and Schneider all come into the equation. So you've got a big body like Dave Fifita running off that. That's menacing. And the Roosters, I can see why they chase him as well. If I was a betting man, I would say that he's going to be a Panther for 3 seasons. That money that Fisher Harris was going to be on, $850, will go straight into the pocket of Dave Fifita. And I think it's a big thing. It'd be a massive signing for Penrith. It'd be a massive signing. Not the biggest signing we've ever had, but it'd be up there. It'd be in the top 5 signings. I still think the best 2 signings we ever had were when I played back in from 1987 to 1988, when we bought Ron Willey came in to coach Penrith, and along with him he bought Chris Mortimer and Peter Moore, Peter Kelly from the Bulldogs, and they just taught us how to be tough, how to train properly, and there's been some good buyers at Penrith over the years, but most of them have been homegrown. So to buy someone outside the system like a Dave Fifita would be a massive coup. I mean, straight away put all back rowers on their toes, including my young bloke, who'd say, you know, this big behemoth is coming to take my spot, so I've got to pull my finger out. But that's what creates healthy rivalry amongst rugby league teams, looking over your shoulder and seeing someone who's as good or not better than you, and you're trying to emulate it. And that's what creates a fantastic culture. So if Penrith get him, hurrah. If they don't get him, unlucky. Whoever gets him will be a better team for it.
I just want to throw in the signing of Ivan Cleary in 2019 maybe is the great, one of the great signings Panthers have ever made. I know he's not a player, but I think
when you look at
the domino effect of then getting Nathan to sign long term, I think it's got to be considered. Just quickly, I've read a bit of the commentary around Dave Fifita. This idea that he might not fit into the culture of Penrith, I don't believe. I don't believe for a second. I think if MG, and I've never played the game at the elite level, but I would imagine if you go into a winning environment, it's pretty easy to buy into the ethos. And when you've got leaders like Yo and Cleary and Liam Martin and Toto and these sort of guys and Dylan Edwards, I can't see David Fifita sort of repelling that or fighting against that.
No.
And I don't think David Fifita's ever really been an alpha at this point in his career either. I don't think he's been kind of a culture leader, as it were. I don't think he's been the sort of player that's dictated the tone and the nature of a team. So I think he'll turn up. And if that is where he lands, I think he turns up, he buys in, and I'm with you, MG. Why would you want, if there's an offer on the table from the three-time reigning premiers for good money,
yes,
Why would you consider anything else? I mean, he can't want to live in Bondi, because right now he lives on the Gold Coast. And
yeah,
I can tell you, having lived in both, Goldie's better than Bondi, right? He ain't moving there for Bondi Beach.
Yeah,
if he's moving to Sydney, it's because he wants to win a comp. And the other part about that is, MG, not to knock the Roosters, but next year, who's walking out the door there? We're saying goodbye to Jared Warrior-Hargraves. We know we're saying goodbye to Kiri. We know we're saying goodbye to Joey Manu. We know we're saying goodbye to Suaalii. We might probably be saying goodbye to Crichton. There's no guarantee. Now, Trent Robinson is a master. He's one of the best coaches in the game. But there's no guarantee that team is a contender next year.
No, there is no guarantee. That is a point.
But you guarantee that the Panthers are a contender next year?
Well, they will be for the next. As long as Nathan Cleary's halfback, they're a contender.
Yep.
Yeah, as long as Ivan Cleary's their coach, they're a contender. Simple as that.
All right. Quickly, before we get into this week's tips, I do want to flag one team with you.
Mm-hmm.
The New Zealand Warriors. We are so bullish on Andrew Webster and everything he's done in his short time as coach. Where are they at? Little mid-season report card, health check from you, please.
Where are they sitting? They're sitting in 17, 15, 16, 14th position on the ladder, where I did not expect them to be. I think that as soon as it seems to have coincided with a couple of things, their form slump. One was a young Metcalf, their 5'8", breaking his leg. He's been fantastic form. They miss him. They miss his penetration and exuberance. And the other one was when they made the announcement about Fisher Harris going there on a long-term deal. It seems to be that's kind of been that, the fish is coming. Should we wait till next year's legacy? Do we have a go? Or obviously, that's not the case.
No.
But in their last 4 weeks, they've drawn with Manly. The Dragons have beaten them. The Titans have beaten them. And the Knights have beaten them. They're three games that you would have said they would have gobbled up pre-season in their meetings before training. We're looking at the draw. We're in, putting in structures. In the first month, we're doing this. Then we've got this road travel. Then we've got these three games. Mid-season, we've got Manly over here. Manly over here, which they drew. They're lucky to get a draw out of that because that penalty to Sean Johnson, the late one, was a penalty every day of the week. And then the Dragons beat them. And then the Titans won their first game over there against them.
Yep.
And then the Knights beat them over here. So the Dragons over there beat them, didn't they?
Yeah. No. Dragons were at home. Dragons played at Wollongong. They beat the Warriors.
Yeah, so I look at the moment, I think the honeymoon's over for Webster, for sure, because he's been riding the crest of an amazing wave for a long period of time with the Warriors, especially the last year and the start of this year. But now it's the luster is gone. Now they've got to roll the sleeves up and get down to some hard work. I mean, Evan Fenua-Blake was arguably in the top on the podium for the best front rowers in the game last year, but he hasn't been sided off nobbies in the last month. And Sean Johnson has recoiled, and two of Arsashek's form that he brought back from Union early on has gone. And you can name 13 or 14 players in that team that have gone backwards in the last month. It's up to that. This is Andrew Webster's big test to get
Fitzy and Dean Mezzatesta might be looking at the dollars, the amount of zeros they put at the end of Adam Fanua-Blake's contract for next year.
I don't doubt his ability. You can never doubt his ability because it's what he showed last year under duress was fantastic, and he's that type of player who just rolls his sleeve up. He hasn't been effective this year. I just think sometimes you hit a bit of a, you know, he knows sometimes in the back of your mind that psyche, he says, I'm going next year and Fisher Harris is coming here and I don't know.
Who was the old boxer who said it's hard to run the early morning miles when you're wearing silk pajamas or something like that?
Probably Ali.
Probably. Just quickly, you say that the honeymoon's over for Andrew Webster. Well, he might be headed for marital therapy in the next 2 months because the block of games they've got that starts with the Roosters this week, then they take on the Panthers, then it's the Dolphins who are still sitting inside the top eight. They get a bye, then it's the Cowboys away, the Storm at home. So it is a rough, rough old road ahead of the New Zealand Warriors. Look, we've alluded to enough of the games. Let's just get stuck into tipping round 10 of the Rugby League. Starts off tonight, the Finns hosting Manly. Suncorp Stadium, it shouldn't surprise me, but when I continue to look at the Dolphins, going into tonight's game as a top four side, I still can't help but go, this is a remarkable story and one that we're probably taking for granted how successful this team is less than, 10 games into their second season in existence.
Oh, their tenacity is inspirational. They just don't go away. Except for that blip on the radar a couple of weeks ago against Newcastle, they've been in every game and they've competed in every game. And the game against Parramatta in Darwin was kind of a exclamation mark to say, you know what, we want to be taken seriously. Well, guess what? Every week, you're going to have to be doing that because no one really thinks your premiership credentials. No one thinks your top eight credentials because we rode that wave last year with you guys and you were winning the comp, very similar to now. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the year after Magic Round, I think they went backwards at not a rate. But I think they're different this year. I really do. I think they've been there and done that. They've got obviously they've still got Flegler to come back and Herbie and.
Herbie's back in this week.
Oh, well, that's good. And the younger Tara at halfback has just been an eye-opener. He's been fantastic. I did not know he was that good of a player, to be honest.
Kenny Bromwich back into the side as well for the Dolphins this week. Well.
Yeah, look, I think Manly will be too strong. DCE, when he wasn't suspended, Ola Koatu was missed last week when Canberra beat them at home. And I think they'll be revved up from that loss against the Raiders. They should have won that. They're winning 20 points to nil. And they got their pants pulled down. So I think they'll be smarting, and I think the Dolphins might be on the end of some turbo magic this weekend.
Friday night in the Riff, the Panthers taking on a top eight side in the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs.
Yeah, the Panther Dogs. Look, four players and a coach will be coming to the foot of the mountains tomorrow night to take on their own team in Crichton, Burton, Kickow, and Salmon, as well as the coach in Serrado. So there's a lot of familiarity. There's a lot of love there from the ex-teammates. But when the shit hits the fan, so to speak, you want to beat your old team. And there's no two ways about it. And they're going to come breathing fire. They find themselves in eighth position on the ladder, which is a fantastic effort for this team who was rebuilding all off-season. And a lot of people saying they bought too many utilities. Well, Drew Hutchinson's been a bit of a fresh air. He just seems to be controlling the game beautifully. He's got time in his hands. And Josh Curran has been a fantastic buy. He's playing front row. And, look, I just like the way the Dogs are playing. But I think Panthers with Nathan Cleary back. Tago is going to be a big loss. He's out for a week for that hip drop last week on Gray from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. But Paul Adamotti gets his chance after having a couple of good games in first grade against the Tigers up at Bathurst and against his old team. He'll be out there to have a big game. So I think the Panthers will win. But I don't think it'll be a big win. I don't think it's going to be a massive win. I think it's going to be something like 20-14 or 20-16 or something.
Nice. I've just had confirmation.
Sold out too.
So, as it should be. I've just had confirmation from producer Owen that it was Marvin Hagler who delivered that quote about it's
Marvin
hard to run
Hagler.
The morning miles when in silk pajamas. Just quickly, look, we know what Parramatta v Penrith has been over the last 3-4 years from a quality game perspective. But how good is it to see the Dogs back relevant again and this fan base waking up?
So good for the game because Bulldogs at their prime, the heartbeat. I mean,
one of the most storied clubs in the history of the game.
Very much like Parramatta as well. I think Parramatta came in the comp in 67 or maybe earlier. I think, we come in 67. Penrith and Cronulla come in 67. I think Parramatta came in 47 with Manly. So these clubs have been around for ages and they've been icons of the competition. And the Bulldogs, well, they're just another entity. Once they get revved up and humming, They're hard to slow down. I think this team with momentum could cause some troubles in the finals. So,
geez,
it's a big one for Penrith on Friday night. But I think they'll get it.
They'd just be thankful they don't have to worry about trying to find a new coach for a while. I think Serrato's doing a great 100%. Job, and I hope they stick 100%. With him long term. Friday night, Eels hosting the Brisbane Broncos. We've spoken about Blaise Talagi going to play fullback, Clint Gutherson out injured. Not something you hear too often. The big one for the Brisbane Broncos, though, is that Josh Rogers will be wearing the number 7. Reno's.
What can you tell us about him?
Not a lot. Reno has ruptured his bicep. Which is going to keep him out for 12 weeks, I think. Round 23 is the forecast return for Adam Reynolds. So he'll get a few rounds in pre-finals, assuming he's fit to go. Joshy Rogers, look. Burley Bear boy, so plays for the Burley Bears, which so he'd know he'd have probably a good combination with Corey Oates, who comes back into the side this week as well, because that's where Corey's been playing a bit of his footy. But from everything, you know, from what people have said, is he goes real good. He's I think realistically he's a stopgap measure until Jock Madden comes back next week, and then Jock Madden knows that he has 11 rounds of footy to deliver and execute, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, bouncing in and out of the side for a round. So I'm looking forward to seeing Jock Madden return, but also looking forward to seeing what Joshy Rogers can offer up in the number 7 alongside Ezra Mann.
Yeah, the Broncos were woeful last round against the Roosters, 40 points to 18. They were never in the game. They scored the first try, but that was about it. Eels, without their two best players in Moses and Gutherson, I don't think, even with... without Adam Reynolds, I still think the Broncos, with Ezra Mann to play a lot more hands-on role, you would imagine, around the halves area, and Rhys Walsh to atone for last week. It was probably one of Rhys Walsh's worst games in first grade last week. So I think the Broncos will win this one.
Tipping the Bronx. Righto, then we get to Saturday, 3 o'clock game, Tamworth. Heading out to the home of the Golden Guitar. West Tigers taking a game to the Bush. Great to see. They will be taking on the Newcastle Knights. And significantly, if you're a Tigers fan, your skipper, Appy Coruscant, back in the side. Kalen Ponga still out. Davey Armstrong, though. Loving seeing this journey this young man's on.
Yeah.
Tough one to tip, really.
It's a very tough one because the Knights have won two without their best two players in Ponga and Frizzell. Their last two games, especially with Ponga being out, no one gave them much hope in the last two games. Well, they've won both of them. And it's been the combination of Gamble and Hastings in the scrum base that's been the pivotal moment for them. Their forwards have been good, but the ingenuity in the kicking game of Hastings and the determination with Gamble has been awesome. And I like what I see. In fact, I can't see them losing against the Tigers. I think at Tamworth, I think the Knights will make it 3 in a row.
Tipping the Knights, righto. Oh, I feel like whenever we talk about South Sydney this year, it's going to be done with something of a heavy heart. They take on the Dragons, 5:30 at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium, and Cam Murray out, Dean Hawkins out, Isaiah Tass out, Jai Gray goes out, Latrell Mitchell obviously coming back in the side, Jacob Host out. Ben Hornby, you got to tip your cap because there's probably no bloke working harder for what to some extent is a winless unable to win battle, I guess.
Yeah, Latrell's back for the Rabbitohs, which is a big thing. It's obviously, he's kind of been devoid of all the cyclone that's blown through Redfern in the last month because he's been on the sidelines, and so he comes back with a fresh face on a fresh palate, as you could say, for 2024, and he's got to be involved. He's got to be the man that wins a game for him if they're going to win. But this Dragons team are a different beast this year under coach Shane Flanagan. They're obviously fitter. They look more intense. They're more intent on what they do. And I like what I see. I can't see them losing to the Rabbitohs, unfortunately for the Rabbitohs fans. I think you're right. Every time you talk about them, you think straight away of Demetrio, and you think about their injuries and Cookie's form hasn't been what it is. I think if Cam Murray was playing, I'd lean towards the Rabbitohs, but him being out is just the cherry on the cake as far as disappointment goes. It's just the Dragons for this one.
Just quickly, one exciting thing for Bunnies fans heading into this game is the debut of Dion Tuopa. Am I saying Tuopa? Tiopa. Yeah, he's going to feature in the halves alongside Cody Walker, who's been something of a mentor to him. So,
right.
22 years of age, had a bit of a... He was playing over... had a rough ride into the rugby league, essentially got hit by a car, I think, when he was in year seven, if I'm reading the story from Brad Walter correctly, but hit by a car, put into a coma, you know, dreams, young kid with dreams of playing professional football, thought he might never get there, and here he is getting to play alongside a hero of his in Cody Walker on the weekend.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and every time a young bloke makes his first grade debut, I've got an affinity with them now because I know exactly what they're going through, and I wish him all the luck because it's a game they can win. It's a game they can win, but I just don't think they will.
All right, best of luck to Dion in his debut. Saturday night, Melbourne, Oi. Amy Park, top of the table. The Storm taking on the Sharks. They will be doing it, though,
yep.
without Ryan Pappenhausen and without yep. Jerome Hughes, which yep. is just as significant.
Yeah, I think so. We saw what happened to the Melbourne Storm's attack as soon as Pappenhausen was injured the other night. Well, now it's double that because Hughes has gone as well, and they're their two focal points in attack. I mean, that's everything comes from Hughes and Pappenhausen. Munster just plays off the cuff, so you never know what's going to happen from him, and Harry Grant's the other member of the top, the big four. He's very structured as well, a bit like Hughes, but that's a massive out, Hughes. I think Sharks will get him. I think Sharkies. The Sharks will get him down there.
Wow.
I just think they're too big. Them two players are too much of an out for... the Sharks, you know what you're getting with the Sharks, okay? They're gonna complete their sets. Nico's going to kick the ball as hard as he can. Then they're going to tackle you as hard as they can and hopefully get a mistake. And that's going to happen for the first 30 or 40 minutes, and then hopefully they'll break you open, and then in the wingers in Mulitano will get a try, and Katar will get a try. And so it's just...
Ramian.
I just like the way they're going about themselves this year. I think they're headed for the top four in this year's competition, the Sharks.
Tipping the Sharks. It's rare that a Storm yeah. player, we talk about, it's rare that a Storm player leaves and gets better. Nico Hines ticks that box. I would argue it's even rarer that a Storm player leaves, gets better, then comes back to Melbourne and wins. So this would be this wouldn't just be a feather in the cap, MG. It'd be a whole bird. This would be a bird in Nico Hines' cap.
It'd be a pigeon in the hat.
A pigeon in the cap. Two more games to go for the round. Raiders with the bye this weekend. Roosters taking on the Warriors. This one's at Allianz Stadium. It's all about the returning troops for the Roosters. They get Tupu back. They get big JWH back. Spencer Lienu comes off his lengthy suspension. And Victor the Inflictor also back into the side. Good luck, Warriors.
Yeah, four major ins. Tell me, I'm confused about Jared Warrior Hargrave's 300th game. I thought he played 300 games a couple of weeks ago. Was that him playing his 300th game as a first-grade player? Because he might have played one or two at Manly.
Oh, geez, this is confusing. I'm looking up Jared Warrior Hargreaves here on the fly, and it says on his official profile that he has made 305 appearances.
Okay. So
in first grade.
Okay.
Now, he played, here we go. This weekend will be his 300th game as a Rooster.
Okay.
He played six games for Manly.
Okay.
So this is game number 300 as a Rooster.
That's fantastic, isn't it, for a front rower? That's amazing. You know, he's 35, 36. He's been an ornament to the game. I think he's only got like seven games to go, and he might take over. Is it Minnie who's got the record for the Roosters, the most games ever, or is it?
Mitch Orbison.
It is. Yep. Oh, wow.
So Mitch Orbison, but JWH will go past him. Mitch Orbison's got 310. Minicello's got 304.
That's for the Roosters, but.
This is for the Roosters.
Yeah, so this is 300th game for the Roosters. He's got 10 games to go until he overtakes him.
Exactly.
Well, it's not a given in today's competition.
You don't think so?
I was talking to my kids today about Cameron Smith and his record. And I said they will never be beaten. That amount of games will never be beaten in the current format of the rugby league because of the HIAs. Because of the intensity, the way the players are getting bigger, you'll never see a player. What was Cameron Smith, 430?
Up to 430?
Well, it was 420 or 430, I'm pretty sure. We'll never see it beaten. It's never going to be beaten. He'll be the number one.
Cam Smith, according to Wikipedia, played 430 games.
Yep.
Do you know who I think might join him in the 400 club?
Who?
Oh, it's still a long way to go. I wouldn't be surprised if DCE got there.
What's DC? He's
30. No, he's too old. Nah, he's 35. Old.
If he was only on 314
or something.
Yeah, if he was 33, you'd maybe. Well, you know what? If anyone's going to play till 40, it's him. But
yeah.
I don't know. You know,
we know he doesn't get suspended, so.
Yeah, that's true. So,
where were we?
Roosters.
You were tipping Roosters over the Warriors. And then the last game of the round is the mighty Gold Coast Titans, who were robbed last week, taking on the Cowboys. AJ Brimson at fullback. He looks very good.
He's great at fullback.
And then Tanner Boyd goes out of the side. So it's Chrissy Randall partnering Kieran Foran in the halves. Chrissy Randall.
Wow.
Becoming a 5'8".
Well, this is a team, the Cowboys, I talk of, who've lost four in a row. Two of them are being at home. They started the season 4-1, four wins, one loss. Now they've lost their last four to sit 4-5. So they need this game. They've got to be desperate for this game. So the Titans aren't any less desperate, let's put it that way. So it's a toss of the coin. I really think it is. I think the Cowboys, on paper, which the game has never played, we know that, but on paper, the Cowboys have got a superior team. All this kerfuffle about Fifita leaving, is it going to take a toll on the players? Who knows? Will they be more stoic because of it? Maybe, but I think the Cowboys will get the biggies.
Very quick Titans rant. I like what's happening. I know.
Des will make sure it happens.
Exactly. I know teams are measured on wins and losses, but I think that if you were to track the Titans' progression, there's an upward trajectory. I like what I'm seeing. You got to, you know, the fact that we're doing all this without Tino, they've got to go and get a playmaker. Yes. And if Dave Fifita frees up space.
There's the rainbow in the sky, isn't it? I think deep down, I don't think they'll be too disappointed if Fifita moves on. It's a second rower on $1 million a year.
Yep.
What the Titans need badly is a number seven.
That's it.
To control that. And what better player than the one they're talking about from Melbourne, Jerome Hughes.
Jerome Hughes, absolutely. But here's what I would say to you, MG. Player swap, if you get Fifita at Penrith, we'll take Cleary.
Okay, done.
All right. And just if he does go to – and if he goes to the Roosters, same deal. You can have Fifita, we'll take Sam Walker back. Who says no?
Sam Walker's an interesting one, isn't it? He's a
– Queenslander.
He's a Queenslander. And everyone jumping ship. Roosters won't let him.
Oh, no, Nick Politis will be sitting down with Sam and making him sign a 10-year contract in blood, I would have thought.
How much of the Harbour Bridge do you want?
Which side of the Harbour Bridge?
Okay, that's yours. Okay.
And then before he realised that Sam's just been sold a bunch of water. Righto, that is our tips for round 10, MG. Hey, good luck to you and enjoy the weekend of footy. Are you getting along to watch Mav and the Panthers this weekend?
Yeah, Friday night is his first time. Mav's had three games off the bench in first grade and they've all been away from home.
This is his first time at Panther Park.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
This is Penrith's first game in seven rounds. They've been at home. They had the Bathurst trip and then they had the other. They've been away. So this is the first time since round three Penrith have been at home.
So for the first time since 2000, the first time in 24 years, your brother would have played there too. Would your brother have played there?
I played against Matty in 1999. But I can't remember Matty playing for the Melbourne Storm at Penrith. He would have.
I'm sure he would have travelled there at some point. But for the first time in 24 years, a Gaia will run out onto Panther Park for the Panthers.
Well, what about this stat last week? Ben Hornby made his first grade debut against Penrith in the year 2000.
Yeah.
An M guy come off the bench and we beat them 42 points to 12. Ben Hornby's first game as a coach, a guy was on the bench, an M guy was on the bench, and Penrith beat South 42-12.
That is excellent. Mate, enjoy Penny Park. Yep. Best of luck to Mav and the rest of the Panther team. We'll see you next week.
See you, champion.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.